It's time for an inside look at the most powerful motorsport on the planet, WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. WFO. We have got the winners, the final ever Lucas Oil Southern Nationals at Atlanta Dragway. I think somewhere down the road, there'll be another Southern Nationals, but it won't be at Atlanta Dragway. We got our Pro Stock and Pro Stock motorcycle winner, Greg Anderson. He was on the track walk with us. He made a big, bold statement that his greatest Atlanta memory was going to come this weekend. And Greg is on the show for his winner view. What an event win, 96 wins, GA 9-1 in eliminations here in 21. One of the greatest of all time in Pro Stock, going to be joining us just seconds from now. So you fans of the Factory Hot Rods, share the show, get it out there, and all those Facebook groups. We love you and appreciate you. And also, Scotty Polacek, Pro Stock Motorcycles, Scotty, who is a great friend of the show, who is a great friend, period, and friend of the show. And what do GA and Scotty have in common? What do they have in common? Well, they both won the final, but what else do they have in common? Denso on board. So big weekend for Denso. Great job by those guys. And, you know, counter programming to the schedule. It's pretty amazing. We're going to talk with Greg Anderson and Scotty Polacek on this show. So share the show, folks, make it happen. But first I got to tell you about the people who make it possible to, you know, connect with drag racers all day. They make it possible for me to connect with drag racers. And I'm talking about Total Seal Piston Rings, the leader in ring seal technology, Matt Hartford, who was there when I went and talked to Greg about, you know, great memories from Atlanta Dragway. TotalSeal.com, Hidden Horsepower Podcast. It's available on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. But really, it's all about ring seal and how important it is, regardless of what you're racing. If you've got an engine and you want to get the most out of it, ring seal is important. It's mandatory. Otherwise, what's the use of all that other go fast stuff if you can't seal it up, right? TotalSeal.com. Check them out. Also, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. The Dragster Adventure, if you want to become a professional champion level driver, you can go to Frank and he'll help you. If you want to just have a great time and have an experience driving a dragster, go to Frank. He will help you. FrankHawley.com. I got a text from Brian Massengill about the new Constant Aviation sponsorship for Factory Stock Showdown, which is such great news. Brian of samtech.edu, he has the category right here, close to his heart. For so many years, Samtech helped shepherd the category to where it is, and they're shepherding the next generation of crew members, crew chiefs, CNC programmers, motorsport EFI tuners, machinists. Samtech.edu can get you started in the industry, get you placed once you graduate. Great school. We're going to be heading down to Houston, Texas real soon. Cannot wait. And Marvin Rodak, RodaksCoffeeAndGrills.com, hot sauces and spice rubs, gourmet coffee, roasted fresh per your order. Marvin Rodak sending out coffee all around the world, getting it from all around the world. And honestly, it's not the cheapest stuff, but it's the best stuff. So what kind of person are you who just wants the garbage coffee experience? You want something good. That's up to you. You tell me. But right now, later on in the show, I'll tell you a little bit more about how to get some WFO gear. But right now, we're going to speak with a four-time champ, the winningest active driver in Pro Stock, 96 wins, just four away from that coveted 100, just one away from another coveted number, Mr. Greg Anderson, GA. Welcome back.
Hi, Joe.
How are you?
I'm pretty darn good. How about you?
Are we in Jason's dyno room again?
Yeah, he's bugging us. He's getting ready to put another Copo engine on the dyno here shortly.
Thank God there is a sponsorship for Factory Stock Showdown so we can keep growing that category.
How about that?
Making power. That's good news.
That is good news.
Yes. Yes. So you're going to let us just watch his dyno pulls and then he will kill you.
He's not quite ready yet. Otherwise you could.
Okay.
He's about to roll the cart in the room, but it takes him a little while. He got a lot of distractions.
Well, tell him to just do his thing and ignore us, as I'm sure he has no problem doing. So, Greg, you said that you were going to try to make the final race at Atlanta Dragway your most memorable memory, and you had many, and you did it. That's kind of cool that you were able to deliver on a promise to the fans.
And it was cool. And the honest to God truth, Joe, was
okay, racing.
I'm not doggone poor anymore. I couldn't remember all the good, great things that have happened in Atlanta. So that's why I had to come up with that. And that was like a wish and a wing and a prayer, and it ends up coming true. So that's now my greatest memory in Atlanta, winning the day they shut the gates. They closed the gates and brought in the D9 Cats.
What a bummer, though, right?
I know, it is a bummer.
That crowd was great. The track was great. The facility was great. We, the Nitro crew chiefs had trouble getting down the first session. But other than that, we had a good track and a good time. And just sometimes progress is good. Sometimes it hurts.
Yeah, it almost seemed like that was the smoothest run Atlanta race we've ever had. And the shame is that's the last one. So I don't know. Do you believe it's real? Now we're going to shut the gate there.
I do.
Bummer.
Well, did you see that factory coming in on 85?
I did.
17 seconds at 70 miles an hour. I'm still passing the thing. That was a big factory, like old school America right there. Massive factory. But why do they have to live on top of our drag strip?
What is like 2 million square foot or something like that? What was it?
I don't know, but it's big.
They're building them right and left along the freeway there.
Yes.
Apparently, Georgia's got it going on for tax breaks or something there.
I don't know. Look at Michael Heiner out there. How about GA? Can't wait to give him his next round loss. Oh, he's ready to battle you. Heiner is.
It's really hard to believe he doesn't have anything better to do right now than sit and watch us.
Reinhart was saying, oh, that's a, listen, he gets all the secrets from this show. That's the way he does, you know, intel on the other teams.
He should get a job.
No, you've heard about his wife. He doesn't need a job, man. The guy is set. We're all just jealous. The day started on the stage before the track walk, and then we got out there and had ourselves a good time. First time interacting with fans like this? I think so. First track walk back.
That shot you just had there. You see that gentleman I'm talking to right there?
Yes.
The green or a blue shirt?
Yes.
I talked to him quite a bit on the track walk. Really cool dude. And he's an ex-Marine. So he's like, I really, really, really want to give you something for luck today. So he reaches in his pocket, and he's got a little hammerhead shark in his pocket. And I said, hammerhead shark. He says, yeah, that was my name. That was my nickname in the Marines, hammerhead. So he says, take this today and see if it does you any good. So I stuffed it in my pocket, and the hammerhead went all the way to the victory circle. So I'm waiting to see that guy again. I told him, come up and see me at my shop sometime. So hopefully he rings the doorbell one day and I can thank him.
Maybe he's out there watching WFO, but I got to help you out real quick, though, just because my dad, you know, once a Marine, always a Marine, GA. There are no former Marines or ex-Marines unless they were kicked out.
You're right.
It's a Marine thing. I gotta throw it out there. Let's talk about your round by round. People out there are watching. Obviously, look at this. Minnesota checking in. Hi to Joe and Greg. That's pretty cool. First round, though, Fernando Cuadra. As the number 16 qualifier for 656-0, and you started off strong. But I want to shout out to Frank Iaconio and what's going on with that team. They're moving in the right direction, and that's what we need, right? Wouldn't it be great if those Mustangs could compete and turn on a win light for the Ford fans a little bit?
He is doing a great job, and it's not a matter of if or when. They did. Remember at the Door Slammer Nationals in Orlando, they took all the money.
Yes.
Those Fords took all the money down there, so it's they're for real. They're no longer just an idle threat. They're for real. They can win. And I think if you ask Erica Enders, she could probably say that they're definitely for real too. They were her kryptonite for the first couple of races on the circuit this year. So Frankie's doing a heck of a job. I know how talented Frank is. I worked with Frank for a couple of years and we won races together. So I knew it was just a matter of time till he got it figured out, and he certainly got it figured out. And they've made big gains in the last year, and they're going to absolutely win races this year.
Having multiple opportunities at Data, how, I know it's important, but give us an idea of stressing it. That's what you guys have. You have scale, right? Any business, scale. You want to be able to try things and go in different directions. Your second round opponent was Matt Hartford. He's running your power. You were able to get around Matt, but just all of the opportunities at Data. When I used to talk to Frank, he would say, man, I only got one car out here, and it's really hard when you got only one car.
Well, there's no question. It helps to have more shots at the racetrack. We've got five team cars. That's five shots every qualifying run, every round you go on race day. That's five chances to learn. And it's a very valuable tool. And the downside is you're racing against your own equipment, and you're trying to make that equipment just as fast as your own or faster. So that's the downside, but it's a big positive, big plus, that it gives you five chances to win the race as a team. And, you know, quite honestly, that's the big picture. That's what's really important.
The semifinal matchup. To me, I told Erica a couple of weeks ago, I told you after your first win, I tell Reinhart every week, I'm kind of beating it into the ground because it's an awesome story. You with four, she with four, you chasing championships, she chasing championship. Everybody's at the top of their game. Nobody's down. Nobody's looking for anything. You've assembled a team. Clearly it's good. And now you guys got to race in the semifinals. Tell me about preparing for Elite and Erica having all of that be true.
Well, it's huge anytime we race. It's like I said a race or two ago, her and I, we're the leaders of our team. She's the leader of Team Elite. I'm the leader of KV Racing. If there's ever an engine that makes one horsepower more or two horsepower more, it's probably going to be in our cars. We've got all the experience in the world. She's won four championships. I've won four championships. We've won a bunch of races. We've raced a long time. We're kind of the elder statesman in the class right now. So we don't have any excuses. We've been there, done that. We know how to get it done. So it's just a titanic battle every time we meet each other and race. And, you know, we had basically a dead heat at the Vegas race, and she got the win light by less than 1,000th. And I returned the favor by, I think, 5 or 6 thousandths this time. So that's how it's going to be. You're not going to have any blowout races when you race each other. They're all going to be nail biters. They're all going to be close. And, you know, we're hopefully each going to get our share.
You are definitely going to get your share. She goes 009 on you. And that drives home the point, though. You were 40 and you were still able to win. You guys appear to have found something that in the world of pro stock, 200 or 300ths makes a big difference. And we're seeing it. And right there, it showed up.
It does. Well, the biggest thing that it gives you, anytime you can run faster than your opponent, you get lane choice. And that was important there. The right lane seemed a little better for us pro stock cars on Sunday. And, you know, that probably decided that race. So it's huge to have a fast car and to make a fast run every time. And there's just a lot that goes into that. The driver's got to do his job with the shifting and steering and everything, not only the reaction time, but all the other stuff to get that best ET he can every time. So there's a lot that goes into it, but the bottom line is that race, right from the minute we unloaded out the trailer in qualifying, we basically made 6 runs, 2 in qualifying and 4 on race day, that the runs that you can't come back and you say, well, if we'd have just done this or done that, we could have run, you know, 100th quicker or 200th quicker. We could say it about any run. It was the 4 best runs in a row that I've made on race day, and I can't remember how long, in years. So that's what it takes anymore. That's what the class is, and it takes perfection. And we had it on Sunday. I had a fantastic race car. It was low ET and 60 foot every run on Sunday. And that's why we were able to run low ET, you know, the round each run. So it all comes down to a team effort, and the boys did just a fantastic job. So Rob and Dave, Rob Downing and Dave Connolly they're hitting their stride. There's no question about it. They're doing a great job with the race car, and it was a dream to drive this weekend.
You're shocking everybody with this one fact. You've shared it with us on WFO before. That might have been in the audio only podcast days. Speaking of which, everyone should still subscribe to the podcast so you can take the show on the road and listen when you're not driving, right? Don't be driving and watching a screen. But you said it in the morning when a little boy asked you what other cars you had driven, and you said none. Of course, down the racetrack, Monica says, I find it hard to believe that you drove nothing other than a pro stock car down the racetrack. Reiterate that, because it's just, it is a bizarre stat, right? Like, how is that possible?
It is the truth. And the bottom line and the real reason that it happened that way, I wasn't necessarily, you know, in the game to be a driver, a race car driver. I wanted to work on race cars. I wanted to be a crew guy, a crew chief, and learn everything I could about, you know, how to make these cars go fast. And that's what I did for 12 years with Warren Johnson. I was a crew chief, a crew member, and then eventually a crew chief. And I love that part of it. And I never honestly had the desire or even the interest or even the belief that it could happen, that I could drive one day. And finally, one day, it was actually Warren that came to Kurt, his son, and I, and said, look, I want to send you two guys to Roy Hill's drag racing school so you can get inside of one of these cars and you can learn how difficult they are to drive and what really goes on in these cars. So maybe you'll cut me a little slack once in a while. So that's what happened. He sent us to the school. The next week, Kurt had a full-time ride racing pro stock. Well, I couldn't do that. I had to continue my day job, which was a crew chief for Warren. And you know, that took every minute of every day. So that's where I got the bug for it. But it took a couple of years after that to get an opportunity to drive someone's car. That ended up being my father-in-law. But that's why it went from nothing to a pro stock car. I started with a pro stock car at Roy Hill School, and that's the only other car I wanted to or even got a chance to drive.
Which is great. And having spoken with Frank and a little bit with Roy, and I know you've done some driver training as well, no bad habits. No, oh, well, I used to do it this way, or in my first car, I had to learn how to do it that way, because no bad habits, clean slate. And they were able to train you up pretty well, obviously.
Yep, there's a lot to be said for that. And that's why I think to this day, it's been so difficult for us to take to the four wide racing, because we learned that habit of racing side by side, racing a Christmas tree with two sides on it, only two sides instead of four. And it takes a long time to break that bad habit. If we had never raced before, you know, on a two-eyed tree or only two lanes, then it wouldn't have been so bad to get acclimated to the four wide. But that's why it was so tough, because it's just, it's ingrained in us, and you learn all those habits, bad or good. And then when you try and do something different, you just struggle.
So final round, you got to run Vincent Nobile out of nowhere, right? This kid is so good that he gets off the shelf after a long time off, goes out there and goes right to the final. He was kind of the defending Atlanta Dragway Pro Stock winner going back.
He was, and I didn't realize that, but yes, he was defending champ, yeah.
And that's why he was there and wanted to be there. And Vincent goes to the final round. I think it's great that we got him hooked back in, because he goes, this is the worst thing for me, right? I had gotten over it, and now I'm stuck again. How'd you get ready for the final?
So the funny thing was, after it was all said and done, he says, well, you know, don't get too used to it. I probably won't do it again until maybe Topeka or something. I says, you know what? I don't believe that. This deal's like a drug. It'll reel you back in sooner than that. So I think we'll see him before that. But he's got talent, no question about it. I saw it firsthand. He drove for us. He drove for us for a lot of years, and he's got talent. He won a lot of races. And you know what you're up against? He's another one of the young guns that are fearless. And he's got experience. He's not only young still, but he's got experience. He's done it. He's won a lot of races. So certainly not a, you know, first timer, like he hasn't raced for a couple of years, but there was no consideration of, well, he's probably going to go make a mistake or something like that, because he hasn't raced in a couple of years. He knows how to do it. And it's like riding a bike. Once you learn, you know, to that level, you're just fine jumping back in. And probably some of the bad habits that you created went away. In a couple of years, he's gone away, and he's probably a better driver now than he even was back then.
Right. Well, certainly hungry to make the most of the opportunity. And he did, and he had a great day. But you are, like we said, you're at the top of your game right now, and you won the race. What was it like being out there with Warren again? You know, we're making a big deal about Warren, and everybody came on the track walk, got one of these. And I talked to Warren, and honestly, you know, I always wonder, right? Like, oh man, I had to stare. I had to choose one or the other of you guys to bring up on the stage last, right? And I did choose you because you were the
actor. See, I figured you'd bring us up together. You surprised me there.
Yes. And I thought about that. And I felt like, you know, let me give Warren his due, and let me give Greg his due independently. I know you guys are connected, but you can be connected for the rest of your lives. In this moment, I wanted to separate you and give you your each independent time. I think you've earned it. Warren has, and you have. But talking to him on the track walk, talking to you on the track walk, the mutual respect is through the roof. And it seems like he's, you know, he's resigned himself and understanding that you're going to catch him and you're going to pass him. And he's almost proud of it.
And he should be. He's certainly a huge reason of why I'm where I'm at. And been able to accomplish what I have. Certainly wouldn't have got to the level I'm at if it didn't start with him. I didn't spend all those years with him. I've never denied that. I'll admit it till the day I die. I learned a ton from the man. So, and I certainly owe a ton of what I've got to him. So it's been, you know, maybe a rough few years since we've been apart, but he definitely had a soft side to him down there. I mean, we spoke a lot. We talked a lot, Arlene too, and caught up on a lot of things and a lot of family things and, you know, talked about a lot of things outside of drag racing. So it was a good weekend all around. And you know, I'm not sure if he's mellowed a little bit in his old age or what it is, but it's a good thing. He was good down there, and she was good down there, and we had a great weekend, to be honest with you.
That is awesome. Speaking of family stuff, you had a little family support at the racetrack this weekend as well. That had to be kind of cool.
Yep. You know, my wife, I can't get her to come to many races anymore. She says, we don't have any fun at the racetrack anymore. I'm not coming because you guys, all you do is work. You work all night long. You don't want to ever leave the racetrack. All you do is work. You're no fun anymore. So why do I want to come to the racetrack anymore?
She didn't say that.
She doesn't come anymore very often, but she came down there. I convinced her to come down there, and I think she brought us a little luck. It was good. She had a good time, and we're going to see her back out at Charlotte, obviously, too. But maybe it'll get her back to the track more often.
That, well, exactly. Maybe she's tied to this thing, and who knows? So the assault on the numbers, right? The 97, the 100. Okay. Like, the hardest part about it is having a quick and fast race car. You got that. The next one tying Warren, there's not going to be like a big celebration about it, but when someone tied Bob Glidden at 85 back in the day, that was a big, big deal. And so, you know, where's your head at on those things? Because you're going to be asked a lot of questions about it.
Yeah. Well, I'm not focusing on it that much, but it's certainly in the back of my mind and it's cool. It's absolutely something I want to do. But no, if I do get there, if I am able to tie them, I don't want to stop there. And if I somehow find a way to get to even 100, I don't want to stop there either. Joe, it's only a number. And I still go to every race that I go to, hoping to win every race I go to. That's what's the fun part for us. And you know, it's just not that much fun anymore if you lose. We work too hard at it, and you're disappointed when you lose. So anytime you win, it feels great. I love that feeling, and I want to continue that. And I'll know the day that comes that I'm not capable of winning anymore, and I'll step out of the car. But I'm not there yet. I don't know when it's going to be, but I'm not there yet. I got a little more time left. I hope it's years yet. We'll see as it goes, but I'm definitely pleasantly surprised so far the way things are going this year. I can't be happier about the way my car is running and the job that Rob and Dave are doing with my race car. So they're giving me a car every weekend that can win, and they're handing it to me and basically saying, go prove if you can still do this or not. So that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to hold up my end, and we did it this weekend. We'll see if we can do it again the next race we go to.
Michael Heiner says, how about tomorrow, GA? How about tomorrow? Yeah.
Anytime.
There's some stories, been out some stories there lately. And, you know, I don't want to call them negative stories, but it does seem, and maybe even me as well, like just wondering, you know, like appreciating Greg Anderson, but what's happening. But right now, though, I don't know if there should be any negativity in that. I don't know. I kind of think you're running over the class at the moment.
Well, you know, like I said, Joe, that those are probably the four best runs I've made on Sunday in years, and two best qualifying runs, basically flawless runs. And it's so hard to win. I still won semifinal by 6,000ths, and I think the final round by 1/100th or a little over 1/100th. It's so hard to win, and it's so easy to lose. There's a million ways to lose. So, you know, it's great to have a performance advantage if you can get it, but you know, let's not forget there was still a couple cars that were there that could run as fast as mine. The Stanfield car was every bit as fast.
Yes, it was.
It was just as fast too. They just didn't make the run at the right time. And you know, the Aaron Stanfield got tripped up second or third round and shook the tires and red lighted. But didn't expect that. Didn't see that coming. And he had a strong car too. So it's not like you're light years ahead of anybody. If you got 1/1000th on somebody, you feel like a king. But really, what does that mean? Not much.
And at this race, Troy Coughlin Jr., Kyle Koretsky, Stanfield all kind of took themselves out, and they all had fast cars. So we'll have to see. Yeah. And next weekend, we've got the NGK NTK 4-wide in Charlotte, your home race for the KB Racing shop, like right around the corner. You know, like 3 miles away, but 45 minutes of those little tiny two-lane roads, narrow over hill, over dale. That's pretty exciting. We just had big news, though, coming out of the NHRA. Richmond postponed. Going to have to wait on that one. Bristol on the schedule in the countdown, a 7-race countdown.
Yeah, how about that? I'm happy to hear that. That's certainly Bristol has always been a challenge that time of year. It's very hot up there. That's a bumpy, rough racetrack. It's tough to manage, and it's a little bit of altitude, and you really struggle to make the cars run up there. So the little bit of cooler temperature we'll have in October will help everybody. It'll make the racetrack better. It'll make the cars run better. It'll be faster. It'll be more enjoyable for us as pro stock racers. So I think that's just a plus-plus and a win-win on that deal. And, you know, I love to hear it. The only negative is, you know, it was always on Father's Day, and it's great to race on Father's Day. I've been very fortunate to win races on Father's Day, and it's a special day. So we're losing that date. That's a bummer, but we're gaining what's probably a better date for a show and for us racers. So I'm looking forward to that. And who knows what will happen to Richmond. It's getting pushed back, but they're still looking for another date, and maybe that'll pop up in the countdown. Who knows? Maybe we'll have even one more, and I'm fine with that too. You know, the more the better.
who knows? Right, exactly. Who knows? And the people that were wondering, everyone was wondering, it was there's a 30% capacity. And if you only have, I'm just going to make up a number here, that's easy, 10,000 seats, 30%, 3,000 people, can we make money at that number? Oh, no, we can't. We're going to lose money at that number. And so why not just push it back a little bit? And maybe that 30% will become 50% or 70% or 100%. And that's why you postpone it. I think it's smart business.
It's a no-brainer. Absolute no-brainer. We all loved this weekend when we could look around and see grandstands that were completely packed. That's like the old days. That's the good old days. And it just makes racing so much more fun and so much more enjoyable when you see that. When you see grandstands that are packed like that, that's what it's all about. And, you know, pretty much every sport is going to say the same thing. They missed that. We're getting close. We're getting back there. And, yeah, if it takes, you know, pushing a few bit races back to get that, we're fine with that. We got all year.
Exactly. Well, and we're coming back. As Jason would say, we're directionally correct. Couple of questions from the audience before we let you go. Mark wants to know, my daughter has a question, says Mark, when is the best time for a fan to get an autograph or picture with the driver? The most likely for him or her to be outside the trailer, you know, obviously, and not bother you guys. Like I train my people up, like you guys are working and there's a right time and a wrong time. And what is the right time?
Well, I'm not going to tell you there's any wrong time. For me, I try to, you know, to make it happen no matter when, no matter what time it is, unless I'm just completely, completely covered up. And it's, you know, there's not a set time or anything like that. But if you're going to play the odds and you're going to look for when the drivers are probably going to have their most time, I'm going to say that last half an hour before we're ready to go up to make the next run. Let's say we made a qualifying run and we've got 2 hours in between or 3 hours in between. Maybe that last half hour, we should be all done with most all the heavy work we needed to do. It seems like when we first get back from a run, we jump right in. We dive right in. We try to do whatever we got to do to get done for the next round. But usually you can get done well ahead of the, you know, time to go up for the next run. So I would say within a half hour, the time that we'd go up for that next qualifying session or round run, whatever it is, that's going to be your best odds. But come on over anytime. To be honest with you, I try to make sure I can do it. No matter what, I'll take 2 minutes out of whatever I'm doing usually to come sign autographs. You guys are what it's all about. Fans are what it's all about. We love, you know, having you all out there, and the more the better. And it's fun signing autographs for you guys. It does. It puts smiles on people's faces, and I love that. So I'll try to make time anytime I can.
One more from Al. The origin story, like you and WJ, how'd you guys get hooked up? I think you might have shared this in the past, but Al wants to know.
Well, I used to work with a gentleman out of Minnesota by the name of John Hagen. I used to race with him. Warren came from Minnesota. Warren raced in Minnesota, and those two were kind of the kingpins in Division Five as far as pro stock racing went. So they were, you know, heavy competitors in Division Five. Warren had just moved out of Minnesota and come to Atlanta, Georgia, moved to the South so he could race full time. John Hagen was still in the North. We'd lost John Hagen in a horrible accident in 1983 in Brainerd. And in a crash, in a wreck up there, and I stopped racing. I pulled back, and I went back, and I went to back to work for my father's car lot for a couple of years, and got a call from Kurt a couple of years later, said, are you ready to get back into this stuff? He knew me from racing against him, working for John Hagen, racing against his dad. So that's how we knew each other, and they called and asked if I was ready to get back into the sport, and I was after a couple of years off, you know, the rest is history. The beginning of 87 is when I went to Georgia and went to work for them. And I've been doing it full time ever since.
Wow. That's, you know, like that there's a tragedy that was involved in the story. That's like the thing that, man, you just never know. And that's why we appreciate our times. Hey, Scotty Polachek going to be on in a minute. Scotty, I see you down there. Congratulations. You both won from the number one qualifying position. Both pretty dominant. Both sponsored by Denso. Just want you to shout out Denso and Lisa. Like, you had such a firm and strong relationship over the years. We have seen that sometimes when a driver has got like a very locked in sponsor, bringing on somebody new is a challenge. You guys were able to bring on Denso and kind of expand the relationship that you had. And you really both have delivered a great weekend for them.
You know, Joe, I thought I had a great weekend. I'm not sure anybody had as great a weekend as Lisa did. So
yeah,
can't thank her enough, you know, for all she does for us. Obviously, all she does for Scotty and Matt and Angie and that whole team. It's a great, great company. It's a great product and it's a great company. So, we love people like that support the sport And, you know, she's at the top of the list. So can't thank her enough and very proud of her. And congratulations. You had a great weekend.
That is awesome. Greg, thank you very much. I've been stalling a little, trying to hope that Dino fires up, or at least we see Jason pushing it in.
I think he's stalling too. I don't know where he went.
Oh, there it is. He's ducking the cameras is what it is. You know, Jason, He's not a camera guy. That's all right, though. That's all right. You're the face of the organization now. What's it been like? Like him, you know, just hanging at the shop, not at the track this weekend.
I asked him if he missed it down there, and he didn't even answer me.
Yeah, right.
I guess I'm going to have to take that as a no. I don't know.
There it is. Well, Greg,
I'm trying to convince him to come out. Obviously, I think we can get him out to Charlotte, but I'm going to try and convince him to come to Houston too. So we'll see. We'll see how my negotiating skills are. See if I can pry him away.
We will test you out. Well, it's Charlotte. You better be able to. I mean, it's right by.
I would hope so. If I can't get him there, I have no communication skills.
There you go. Greg, thank you very much. Thank you for making the time for WFO and taking questions from listeners and all of that. I'm just super excited about Pro Stock. We've got a lot of great stories, and I think everybody is catching on to where the excitement is. Pro Stock is a classic battle for the ages. It's going to be fun.
It's going to be a great year, Joe.
All right. Thank you, GA. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Joe.
There he goes. Greg Anderson with us here on WFO Radio, his 96th career win, 9-1 on the season, and from the number one qualifying position, closing down Atlanta Dragway Southern Nationals with a win. All right, you heard GA mention that Lisa from Denso had the best weekend, and that's because she knows how to pick her drivers, but then again, so do I. And joining us now from, parts unknown, is the man who wanted Pro Stock Motorcycle, Mr. Scotty Polacek. What's up, Scotty? Can you hear me, Scotty? Can you hear me? Because Scotty doesn't know that he's on.
Can't hear
Scotty,
you yet, Joe.
You can't hear me, but I'm talking to you. I am talking. You got, what is that on your head, Scotty? What is that?
Can you hear me, Scotty?
Oh, there it is.
I can hear you now.
Yeah, he's delayed.
I hear you. I'm talking to you. I hear you.
But you're a little bit delayed. Yeah, you see, we're getting the time tunnel. That's good. Why don't you reconnect, Scotty? Reconnect real quick and come back in. I think something has got you delayed for whatever reason. And because we did two guests, we were unable to do a sound check with Scotty last time it worked. And so we'll figure it out. Michael Heiner says, GA Scotty Denso, great job. Facebook user says, awesome, Greg, nice win. Up for a victory dinner like I promised you. It's on me. Listen, I'll take Greg's victory dinner. You can just hook me up. And Matt and Angie are out there, as in Angie with Matt Smith Racing. All right, let's try again. Are you back? Well, see, what's happening is you're watching on the computer over there. You got to roll up your windows and turn off your radio. Just use the device. Now let's let it go through. See, that's the thing. We'll bounce Scotty out of there, and I will tell Suze that she can't, because what's happening is, and I've known this from my radio days, because there's a 7-second delay when you're doing the internet thing. When you're doing the internet thing, there is also a delay from here to the internet beam and then out to the people. And so he is hearing us in a delay. That's why when a call screener on a radio station is like, do you want to talk to the guys? What do you want to talk about? Miami Dolphins? All right. Roll up your windows. Turn off your radio. They'll be on with you in a second. Ka-chunk. And you turn off the radio because when the host goes to you, you want to be ready for the host. Now, I didn't get to tell Scotty that. And so what they're doing is they're watching the show on their computer and they've got it up over there in the corner. And that's what Scotty is hearing, as opposed to the connection through his device. So what's happening is they're going to listen to me and they're going to figure all that out and turn off the computer or bring it out of the room and then just connect through their phone and we'll have good audio. But that's the thing. They were watching the show, right? And I think I might've told Suze something like that. So what I'm going to do is give enough time for the delay to go through and then we will bring Scotty on. But that having been said, this guy was the number one qualifier. Great shot from Cycle Drag. Thank you, Suze sent that over. Have a look. Scotty and Suze. He can win when she's there. That's really what's most important on the weekend, right? Look at Michael Ray in the background. They've got a great team over there at Matt Smith Racing. Of course, big shout out to Lucas Oil, who sponsored the event. Is that Michael Ray drinking champagne? That's exactly what it is. Scotty, scruffy Scotty. Gosh, Scotty, you're very scruffy. And I'll save one more for him. Now we're going to try again. And just so you know, we're going to keep trying until we get it. We never quit. We're like Lex June. And we'll see if Scotty is back. Scotty. Now your volume is down. We're close. You can hear me, but your volume is down. We're going to keep fighting. You're muted. Unmute yourself. Keep working on it. Like, this is it. The challenge of drag racing is nothing compared to the challenge of working on the technical devices. But at least you can hear me, Scotty. So we have achieved half of it. You just, your volume is not working. Oh, I'll let you know when it works. And I am willing to stall all day long. I'm going to kick you out one more time. It's all right. The TJ Zizzo record is still 10, 15 reconnects away. So there's no chance. You keep working on it. I'll keep, we got it there, Suze. Let's look at this. Look at that. You guys are doing a good job, man. The audience loves this stuff. All right, kicking you out. Keep trying. And that's the thing about WFO. You just never know what it's going to be like. Let's queue up some questions for Scotty Polachek. And I want to tell everybody that I will. Headphones working. Look at Suze. You don't have to communicate with me. Just get the deal done. And just like that. Now, I will be at the NGK NTK Fork Wide Nationals up there in Charlotte. Super excited about that. I got to tell you, the thing with Richmond doesn't bother me a lick. I am witnessing all of our lives changing for the better every day. And the further away from today we get, the more people are going to be able to be there, depending on the state, depending on the situation, depending on the allowable capacity. And so I'm okay. Now, inevitably, there's something going on in October that I'd really like to go to here in South Florida. They're going to put the date on that date, just like they're going to put the Formula One Miami race on the date of the Gator Nationals here in March. I don't know it to be a fact, but I know it's going to happen to me because I'm going to have to make a very difficult decision. Do I go to the Formula One race right by my house, or do I continue a 42 year streak of going to the Gator Nationals? And you know the answer. It's go to the Gator Nationals, right? Look at this. Look at Angie. Come on, Joe. Remember, Joe, he's just a driver. That's not true. Scotty is an entrepreneur, businessman, successful guy. The word is he gives great hugs. You know, Suze will get it figured out. They just got to go through their the phone. And I'm sure they're watching up there. We'll figure it out. We will figure this thing out. Need some crazy Matt Angie stories. Okay. Scotty's not the right guy to tell the stories, though. Suze is the right person to tell the stories. Scotty's not going to dime out Matt and Angie. Let's try it again, baby. Here we go.
How's that? Can you hear us now?
Victory. Way to go.
Get rid of that computer.
Okay.
So get rid of the computer. Go to the phone.
What was harder, that or winning your first race?
Boy, you know, if it was up to me and Suze wasn't here, this would have been harder. But now she's here, we can get through this, and we'll say that the race and winning was a lot harder.
For people who don't know Suze, obviously we're friends and we've got a, you know, great, we've had fun away from the track and all, but for her to not be there for your win at the U.S. Nationals was just kind of a unfair injustice for how supportive she has been. So to me, like, this victory has got to be so great for that, because now you have won together.
Exactly. You know, because we've been out here for, you know, 10, 12 years doing this, and she's been right by my side the whole time. And, you know, she does so much for me and so much for the team. And so in Indy last year, when she wasn't there, you know, it was really kind of a downer. Here it is, you know, it's the first race that we've won, and it's Indy, you know, of all places and all races. And poor Suze was at home. And, you know, luckily one of our friends, you know, brought a phone down to the big end, and I got to FaceTime with her right after it all happened. But it definitely wasn't the same as Atlanta this weekend, being her birthday and being number one qualifier and winning the race, and finally getting to have that kind of celebration with her there was just amazing.
The birthday part, did that escape me? Did I know that? I don't know if I knew, you know, if I knew that. Happy birthday, Suze. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was, that was definitely a, you know, a nice top to the weekend, you know, being able to give her the Wally for her birthday. So
now Matt Smith Racing, one of our viewers out there, said we need some crazy Matt and Angie stories. I know you're not going to give us those necessarily right here, right now, but the team that Matt Smith has put together, I was kind of thinking about it yesterday when we were talking with Alan Reinhart, just the struggles that they had over the years, Matt knowing that he is the talent and the ability and the drive and determination, but not finding a reliable sponsor until Lisa from Denso. And now you guys have the Denso sponsorship. We just spoke with Greg. Greg Anderson was super stoked about Denso. And it just shows you what stability can do. The stability that Denso gave Matt has now extended on to you. And you've been able to prove that you can race and win. And seeing you guys out there with that flag as you and Matt were staging up, like, to me, that was a big moment in the sport of drag racing. Like, look at that, man. You and Matt getting ready to go at it, all Denso'd out.
You know, it is amazing. And, you know, Matt's had a really, really good team for a long time. I mean, he's had a ton of success, you know, and won 4 championships. But, you know, for doing what we do, it really is, you know, all about having the right partners and the right sponsorship, you know, and people to support you. And, you know, he's done a great job, you know, with, you know, lots of different sponsors, you know, Mark Stockseth, you know, Greg Butcher Trucking, you know, all the people that put everything into, you know, his program. And it works really good for us, you know, having Lisa and Denso sponsoring us and Chip Lofton with Strutmasters. You know, it's like you can't get it done without partners like that. You know, and once you have that stability in place, you know, you can work on the other stuff. And Matt's really, really good, you know, at building the motors and tuning the bikes. And then, you know, as far as Angie and I, the rest is up to us, you know, to ride the thing right. And, you know, we all kind of follow Matt. And, you know, Matt's a phenomenal rider and tuner. I mean, he's like the complete package. And it's a little easier for me because, you know, I don't have to do all the same things that he does. You know, my main job is just to get there and ride the bike and turn on wind lights. But it's definitely, you know, a big team with everybody, you know, trying for these victories like this. And it doesn't always happen, but you always got to try. And, you know, sooner or later it'll come.
Shutting off a bike early in the year to save it, no oil pressure, that kind of thing. Decisions like that. I remember them when moments like this happen. You're the number one qualifier and you go on to victory and just tremendous. Let's talk about your race day. Round one, you had to go up against Jerry, who they've been struggling mightily. Your reaction time was a little bit off that round, but knowing you're the number one qualifier, I'm thinking that maybe you knew something was up with those guys and you didn't want to push it. Take me through that round.
You know, one thing about racing, you know, the first round like that, especially when you're number one qualifier and you're racing number 16 qualifier, you don't expect to have a multi, you know, national event winning championship rider like that next to you. Jerry can any given pass be the fastest guy on the track, but you know, they've been struggling. I'm not sure, you know, what kind of issues they're having, but, he's not, you know, running up to what he normally does right now. But as far as the first round, I definitely didn't intend on having a reaction time like I did, but there was something, you know, a little goofy going on with the tree there. It, right when I went on the two step, it flickered my bottom bulb and I kind of panicked. I didn't know, you know, if the bike was trying to roll out of the beam or, you know, if there was something going on with the tree, but we were lucky enough, you know, once I did let the clutch out, the bike took off and, you know, made a decent pass. It kind of bogged coming out of there, but it was enough to get the wind light and, you know, race day, you usually got to have a little bit of luck. And so we had a little bit there. We've had our, you know, deal kind of being on the other end of that kind of stuff before. So it felt good to get that wind light.
Absolutely. Everybody saying what's up and congratulations to you and Matt Smith Racing, Denso, of course, Chip from Strutmasters, who I saw throughout the weekend. Eric is out there from your home state of Oregon. You are like carrying the flag for Oregon, which is very cool. Angie says that it was the margaritas on Saturday night that won the race. Do you agree?
I think she was the one that had the biggest margarita, and it definitely did wonders for her, but I'm not sure if it translated into victory on Sunday or not, but a good time was had by all of them.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. She said that you didn't know about the flag. I don't think it was a surprise to everyone. That way that Denso took over the starting line with the flag, I thought was a big moment also and very cool. Let's get to the final round though. Second round, the most recent winner, Ryan Ayler, who has been quick and fast and unfortunately went in the sand trap again. But he left a little ahead of you, but you were able to run him down. And how great a feeling is that, Scotty, to like have the confidence to know, you know what? Even if I am a little late, I got the power to run people down.
Yeah, that's definitely an amazing feeling, because normally, you know, I feel like I just got to murder the tree, you know, to get any wind lights. But yeah, here lately, the bike's been so good that it's, you know, kind of rescued me a couple times here and there when need be. But I knew I needed to tune the reaction time up, you know, when we got into the semis. And we were lucky to get by Ryan, because he did leave quite a bit in front of me. And unfortunately for him, you know, he blew that thing up right about the finish line and went in the sand again. And, you know, anytime you do stuff like that, it's just tons and tons of work, and not to mention money and all that, trying to put the parts together and everything. But, you know, Ryan's good at what he does, and he'll get it back together, and he'll be out there with us in North Carolina at the four wide. So
absolutely. Yeah, he challenged me to a one-on-one race in some Mustangs over in Clearwater, Florida, which I'm going to have to go and battle him, but that's different for a different day. Now, when he blew up, we didn't have a good camera angle of it. Maybe you saw it. I don't know what you could see, but I'm under the impression like the whole front of the bike came apart.
Well, I didn't see any of it until quite a ways down in the shutdown, and he came flying by me way faster than he should have, and I know it's way faster than he wanted to, but I couldn't really see anything that happened as far as the motor blowing up, but he told me that the front was shaking so bad that, you know, it felt like the handlebars were just huge and he couldn't really hang on to them. And I was watching him, and I seen him put his feet down and the smoke coming off his feet, and he went a long ways in the sand trap. I was really getting worried he was going in the net, and nothing good happens in the net, but luckily he stopped short of the net and didn't have to get tangled up in that.
Yeah, well, exactly. And that's all of our worst nightmare, right? But the good news is that he was able to get it stopped, and now it's just about putting things together. So you mentioned you got to get tuned up for the semifinal going up against Angel. She's 008. She's got the Suzuki. She's now in the 200 mile per hour club. There's only one spot remaining, by the way. Andrew gets in that final spot in the 200 mile per hour club. How cool is that, right? Like, who's going to get that? You don't have to worry about that though. But you had to get geeked up for Angel. Tell me a little bit about that, because if there's anyone more hungry than you, it might be her.
You know, she's a very fierce competitor, and anytime you run up against her, you better have your A game, because just like she did Sunday, you know, she could have a 00 light, you know, anytime, you know, doesn't matter what round it is. And she has a really fast motorcycle. So, you know, anytime you're in the other lane with her, you better have it all together. You better be good on the tree. You better have a good tune-up. You better do a good job riding, because she could beat anybody out there at any time. Luckily, I kind of got my stuff back together on the tree, and I think I had a 20 light to her 008, so she didn't get too far out in front of me. But, you know, the bike was running so good. Matt did a great job on the tune-up. You know, we went 2 680s in a row, you know, the second round and the third round, and I think both of those were low of the round. You know, so we knew we had a really, really good bike. And all I had to do was just keep repeating, and, you know, we'd keep turning on wind lights. So
you were lower the round in each of the second and semifinal rounds. So yes, you've got a quick and fast hot rod, and who's waiting for you in the final round? It's Matt. So what's that like in the MSR pit area? Angie did a great job on the starting line, kind of a winner interview before, because the race is over. They won. It's a team. It's a team. You won. But who's going to take it in the final round? How's the atmosphere different when the final round is just you guys?
You know, it's really neat for us, because, you know, Denso is sponsoring us, and, you know, we're, you know, texting back and forth with Lisa and telling her what's going on. And, you know, we're both, you know, Denso bikes now. So it really kind of made the mood a little lighter, because, you know, either way it was going to be a Denso bike, you know, in the winner's circle. And, you know, Matt and I have been together a lot and raced a lot, and, you know, he beats me more than I beat him. So I think, you know, I probably kind of wanted a little more, but it's just neat, you know, that, you know, you're racing your teammate, and, you know, no matter what happens, there's going to be a really good celebration at the end of the night. And that definitely makes it a little sweeter that way.
Look at this photograph of you guys getting ready to go off and race. And at this point, I want to ask you about, you know, confidence of winning and learning how to win. It's something that is cliche in motorsports, like in all sports and everything. You got to learn how to win. And, you know, I'm wondering, the expectations of like, oh man, if I'm going to win, like you said it just a second ago, I want to win so bad. I need to go up there being trip zero and I need to set low ET and I need to run top speed if I'm going to win. But that's not really the case. Look at this. A four-time champ went one foul red and it didn't matter what you did. I guess you bogged a little on the starting line, whatever, but you're the winner. That's the thing, is that the realizing that when you get to the final, maybe pushing extremely hard is not even the right thing to do. To just do your thing that got you there and wins will come. The reality of that, like, oh, okay, wait a second. I need to just do my thing and wins are going to come. And look, now you got the U.S. Nationals. You got the final Southern Nationals, Atlanta Dragway. A guy like Matt Smith, one foul to the bad side. If he'd gone trip zip, you'd have lost. But you didn't. You won. Like, talk about that process of learning that that can happen.
You know, it's amazing how that does work. And, you know, we've been at it a long time and, you know, we made it to a lot of finals, you know, and tried a lot of different ways, you know, to turn on the wind light in the final and didn't quite find it until Indy last year. And, you know, it was kind of the same thing last year when we did win Indy was, you know, we had a great bike that was really consistent and really fast. And, you know, I was riding really good. And it's a really hard package to put all that stuff together. You know, but once you do it once, you know, it gives you the confidence, you know, that you can go out there and do it again. And, you know, it seems like it's different every time, you know, every race you go to is different. And, you know, all the bikes, you know, some people run good some places. And so you really have to pay attention to, you know, who's there and how they're running. And I think, you know, with Matt, knowing what we had for a motorcycle and what we had for a tune-up in there, you know, he knew that we just went 82 runs in a row and he knew that we could run at least 80 again, you know, if we made the same kind of run. And he hadn't went quite that fast yet, you know, on Sunday. So he knew that, you know, he had to tune his bike up and he knew he had to tune up his reaction time. And that's kind of, you know, just how you get through all those things is, you know, you got to pay attention to what everybody's doing, you know, not just your program, but, you know, you got to be ready for anything. And, you know, he only missed it by a thou. I mean, it was, you know, as close as you can cut it. So, you know, anything could happen anytime you roll up to starting line.
That's the point, is that Matt was trying to be perfect and he was only a thou off.
Yes.
That's the point, that Matt went up there to do exactly what he did. And we're talking about a thousandth of a second because he needed those numbers because he knew your bike better than anybody.
Yeah, exactly. And so he kind of got bit by what we did a couple weeks earlier in Vegas when we were in the final. And I red lit by a little bit more than what he did, but you know, that's kind of the way it goes sometimes. You know, you just get up there and you're trying so hard and you're amped up and, you know, you want to do good for the whole team and for your sponsors and everybody. But sometimes that's what it takes to, you know, get a double O light, you know, and get the victory, but you got to keep trying.
Angie says that we all need to just pack up and leave when Scotty's the number one qualifier. He's batting 1,000 in MSR for number one qualifier and winning the race. But if you leave, Ange, she can't. What happens then? Do you take the bikes with you? I mean, come on, you can't leave. You gotta stay there.
Yep. Yeah. So far, you know, we've qualified 3 times in our career, and the first time it didn't work out so good, and that really leaves a bad taste in your mouth because, you know, when you're number one qualifier, that adds a lot of pressure to win the race. And, you know, the odds aren't as good, you know, of always winning when you're number one, just because anything could happen. But, you know, the last couple of times we qualified number one, it worked out really well. So we're definitely going to be looking to qualify number one some more.
All right. So you're sitting second in the point standings. You're 3 points back. Ryan Ehler's 14 points back. We just got started, really. But you are in the mix. Strong start. That's what it takes to go out there. Give me your, you know, your thoughts on the rest of the season. Like, how are you going to handle what's to come? You heard the schedule changes off the top of my head, you know, Richmond and, you know, Bristol is back. It's in the countdown, whether the bikes run at those, et cetera. But just, you know, give me the lay of the land as far as how you're feeling, knowing that, man, you started off hot and that's what it takes if you're going to contend for a championship.
You know, we feel really good. I mean, I feel like we have all the right equipment. You know, we've got the right, you know, sponsors and partners and we got the right people on the team. You know, Matt, you know, doing the tuning and, you know, Angie's always helping build motors and, you know, Michael Ray takes care of the bike from the time, you know, we get to the track till the time we leave. And, you know, he's just flawless. I mean, he doesn't make any mistakes on the bike. You know, so it's kind of all up to me, you know, to go out there and do my thing riding it. And it's been going really good all year. I mean, we've been to three races and, you know, we went rounds at all of them. You know, we won one. We were in the final at the four wide. I know NHRA likes to say it was a semi, but I still say, hey, they handed out a wally at the end of the track when I got down there. So it was a final round to me. But yeah, we've, you know, been in a good position in all three races so far. And, you know, if we just keep doing what we're doing, you know, we'll be in the mix one way or another.
Well, exactly. Exactly. And you mentioned Michael Ray. I just want to shout out to Michael Ray because, you know, we're talking about Matt and Angie building the team. Like, I think it's I think he's a big part of it. The guy had won races on his own before, and he seems to be. And you tell me, right, because you're kind of a mild mannered character. I would call you that. Right. And Matt can go either way. He can be fiery at times, but Michael Ray is a fiery guy. He'll let you know exactly what he thinks, his emotions. He's fired up on the starting line. When things go well, he lets you know, but very accomplished, you know, motorsports professional.
Yeah. Michael's amazing. And, you know, not only is he really, really good on the working on the motorcycle, but he's, you know, he's like a built-in shrink for Susan and I. And, you know, he's always, you know, encouraging us and giving us advice, you know, and just keeping us focused. And I mean, it sounds kind of funny, but it really helps a ton. I mean, you know, it's almost like having a coach and, you know, and a really good friend. And it's really a neat dynamic. And, you know, him being a rider, you know, he knows all the stuff that I'm going through. And so it's good to hear from him, you know, all throughout race day, you know, telling me, you know, hey, let's do this, let's do this. And so it's a really neat, you know, dynamic, you know, and a huge part of the team, you know, kind of like, you know, Nate Kendrick is for Matt, you know, he's a phenomenal mechanic on the bike too. You know, he doesn't make any mistakes. And so, you know, that's the kind of things that it takes, you know, is having the guys like that.
Amazing stuff. So tell me about the celebration. What did you guys do? Like, it was bittersweet, right? I didn't even want to leave. I came and swung by your pit and said hello. And just knowing that that's the last time I'm going to be there. I don't know about you, what reason you would go there. I know there's divisional racing. They're going to run their schedule. But saying goodbye to Atlanta Dragway was a little tough. What was your celebration like in that? Did you guys hang there and party? Did you go somewhere? Did you just head home? I know early flights. What was your plan? What happened?
You know, it's kind of crazy being there, you know, when the race is over and knowing, you know, that the circus that is the NHRA national event scene is not coming back there again. You know, that's a really strange deal. And that was why we went over and signed that big banner at the end of the race. You know, that one right there, they're going to put that in the museum, I think, is what they're doing with it. And so it was really cool to go over there and sign that, you know, and take pictures with it. Pretty neat deal there. You know, we've never had the experience of doing that, but, you know, we stayed at the track for a while and we got all packed up and then, you know, like I said, early flights, you know, so we had to drive back to Atlanta, you know, Sunday night and had early flights there. And, Michael and Susan, and I went to dinner and, she didn't feel as good as she could have, but, you know, it was still, you know, the sweet victory taste that, you know, getting the wally at the end of the track. And, you know, that's the really big, huge thing, you know, being able to all of us be together and celebrate that. But
maybe yeah. It was the margaritas.
That might have something to do with it.
Maybe now the adrenaline from winning a race that blows any margarita problem out of the window. Scotty, congratulations. Great job. For me, it's fun watching you go through the process, right, of building the confidence. And I made an analogy to my own driving way, way back in the day. Obviously, it wasn't at the professional level, but I runnered up like five times before I won a race. And I had my friends busting my chops and getting in my head. And you just don't know until you know. And now you know. So watch out. I think you got a lot more to come and it's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
Hey, and thank you for picking me in your pool because I'm sure that had something to do with it. So
that's right. That's twice now.
Keep working on that.
That's twice. Well, that this one, and you were the only winner I got on the day. So it worked out. Yeah, we do a little like, who do you think is going to win kind of picks deal. Sure. I thought Scotty Polachek, man, watch this guy. And sure enough. And now when you're the number one qualifier, I'm going to just let it ride and let's see how far this thing goes. Let's see how far this baby goes. Right, Scotty?
I'll see if I can hold up my end of the deal.
thank you very much for making the tenacious effort to get connected today. It doesn't bother me at all. I think the audience loves actually watching struggle and technical difficulties, and it was so worth it. Thank you very much. Congratulations. Obviously I'll see you in a few weeks, but, another great win. Suze was there. I know that's probably the most important emphasis on this because now she has experienced winning in person and it was just awesome to watch. Congratulations.
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it. Love being on the show.
Thank you, Scotty. Talk soon. Say hi to Suze. Thank you, Suze. If you're out there listening, appreciate it. Awesome job. See you soon. There he goes. Scotty Polachek with us here on WFO Radio. Way to go, Scotty. Yeah, man. Yeah, no, like we're all drag racing fans. Like, so who do you think is going to win today per category? This category, you know, top fuel, funny car. And Scotty's the only guy who came through. There it is. Let's see. Glad you will be in Charlotte. Yes, me too. I am glad I will be in Charlotte. I'm super excited about that. And finding out like where I'm going to be and where I'm not going to be. It's adding drama to my life. Like, what am I going to be doing that weekend? Thank you very much, Angie. And yeah, the Denso flag thing, I thought it was just super cool. And that's what I always say is that racers need to do things to break up the norm, create a moment. So whoever's idea it was to grab the flag and go wave the flag between the final round of the two Denso bikes and, of course, the one Strutmaster bike. I know Chip's out there. Good job, Chip. I thought it was such a great, great deal. And, like, even these guys, like, when Matt and Angie were deciding to have bobbleheads made, did they think that every time I talk about Matt and Angie, here come the bobbleheads, they're coming out, there they are, they're with me? Like, a lot of people wouldn't bother to do that, right? They would be, but creating little moments, things to talk about. You know, it might seem silly, but it helps. Okay, let's see what Keith says. It stinks that Atlanta State sold out to Land Development. Hope they will rebuild somewhere else from Commerce, Georgia. Well, we were talking about yesterday with Reinhardt. Wouldn't it be nice if they did something at Atlanta Motor Speedway? Wouldn't it be nice if they did something somewhere in that area? I would love to have another track there, but the logic, the more you think about it, the logic of selling the land, it's kind of hard to go against the logic. Put your comments in the comment section. I will give my thoughts on your comments after I tell you about the people who make it possible. Put your comments up there. I've already posted the link to our YouTube page. We have achieved the 1,000 subscribers, folks. The milestone number we were trying to get to, we got there. Now, I think right now it's like 1,000. And so we need more on our YouTube channel. And what we're going to do is we're going to do some YouTube specific content later on. That's where the Joe Goes Racing stuff is going to be there. Angie says, I try to think outside the box, which you have to. And I talked to Lisa about the flag and she said, yes, well, exactly. And, you know, NHRA has rules and regulations and I don't know every one of them and what they are, but I always side on the best story. And when you're a race fan and you're watching and you don't know everybody and you don't know anything and you're trying to get into it, seeing something that you think is cool, like, oh man, they're celebrating, they're loving this, I'm interested. It's as simple as that. Do something unique. And the interview with Tony Jones, the Super Street winner, is all over the internet right now. NHRA put it up on NHRA.com. I've tweeted it out. The guy broke down and it was just incredible to see how important this is. Sometimes people win all the time and they just kind of get ordinary with it. Yes, we won again. We're going to go get ready for the next one. Thank you. That's not the way to bring on new fans. It's not. So get your comments in the comment section. I want to tell you about the people who make it all possible. Thanks, of course, to Greg Anderson and Scotty for coming on the show. Talking about Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School, the Dragster Adventure. You can drive a dragster. You, lowly you. No, I'm kidding. $399. You show up with the clothes on your back. They provide everything and you drive a dragster and have a wonderful experience. To me, it's a no-brainer. They travel around the country with the program. So you don't even have to fly into Gainesville, Florida, although they do it there as well. Total Seal Piston Rings, the Hidden Horsepower Podcast, the Hidden Horsepower Podcast, totalseal.com. Learn that 40% of the friction inside an engine comes from the piston rings. Wouldn't you love to make that less power? That's where the hidden horsepower is. Samtech.edu, the School of Automotive Machinists and Technology. If you want to become an engine builder, an EFI tuner, a machinist, a CNC programmer, if you want to end up on a crew, not only do you get great education, but you get all the contacts that come with being a part of Samtech and being a graduate. Great stuff. And Marvin Rodak, rodakscoffeeandgrills.com, hot sauces and spice rubs, which if you never drank the coffee and you only got the habanero endorphin booster hot sauce, I think your life would be better if you're a hot sauce person, which I am. Because it's hot, but it's not too hot. It's hot, but it's not too hot. It's more flavorful and it's good on everything, like genuinely everything. Like you put it on peanut butter and it would be amazing stuff. 817-924-6821. The WFO store is rocking. We have got some logo t-shirts. We've got our face coverings, patches, stickers, more coming. WFO hats with the center logo are available, but they're almost out of stock. And then we're going to move the logo over to the left side like everybody's doing. A trend that I think, I don't know if it was E that started it, but a lot of them put it on the side and I really like it. So that is cool. And if you want some free stickers, the address is there where you can get some free WFO stickers to put on your race car, put on your toolbox or put on your truck and let everybody know that you listen to the show and you watch the show on Facebook or on YouTube. Castello Media/WFO stickers, P.O. Box 848-353, Pembroke Pines, Florida, 33084. Just send a self-addressed stamped envelope. So I don't have to do anything other than stick the stickers in there and I'll throw a patch in there also. And I'll send it back. Put the appropriate amount of postage on there, please. The Greg Anderson, Erica Anders battle that I have been hyping like viciously because it's one of the most exciting things of the entire year for me. Now we've got the Antoine Brown, Steve Torrence story that's starting to percolate up. Like who can be genuine rivals? Troy Coughlin Jr. taking, Uncle Jeg's car could certainly go out there and win a whole bunch of races. But like Greg said, each of them are the face of their team and they're great rivals. And so what's going to happen? And that's to me what it's all about. Choose a side, have fun, be respectful and do it. Now, tomorrow, this guy, Antoine Brown, going to be on the show, 3 p.m. Eastern time. That he's available at 3 p.m. Eastern time. We're doing the show at 3 p.m. Eastern time. I always try to keep the show off of other shows because I just think that it's better that way. We can all share listeners as opposed to dividing the audience. But in this case, when AB can only do 3 o'clock, that's when I'm doing it. And I don't even know if anybody goes at 3 o'clock. I'm just saying that. That's my philosophy on the industry. There you go. Let's see what everybody's got to say. Let's see what the comments are. Great show today. Our newest Patreon, Monica, who helped us create the yearly Patreon membership. She's a member for a year. And because she is a yearly Patreon, she is going to be a certified. That's how we're going to do it. If you sign up, if you're on for a year, you get become certified and you get the pin. Monica, thank you very much. I appreciate you and your support. Let's see. Joey's quick comeback was amazing. Awesome to work with those guys. We're talking about Joey Gladstone because Joey Severance's big comeback is coming out next weekend. The Joey's. Joey Gladstone, I should have asked about that. What a tough kid. I'm super, first of all, I want to see people who deserve it achieve. And Scotty Polachek and Suze, they deserve it. They're putting in the work and they deserve it. Now they're achieving. Joey Gladstone, man, this kid is awesome. He's been awesome. I challenge you to go back and look at all the times he's lost. Like, go find all the times he's lost. He's 00 and a loser. Now he's got a quick and fast bike. It's going to happen for Joey Gladstone. And I talked to him about, coming back. And we'll have him on the show at some point. But the renewed appreciation of every single thing that he gets in his life, even aggravation and annoyance. The guy took a hard fall. There's no guarantees when that happens. And he's back. He's with us. We get to enjoy him. He gets to enjoy racing. Renewed perspective. I was like, hey, do you have the renewed perspective that comes along with an experience like that? And he said, absolutely. Like even something negative, like getting a parking space taken from you, something aggravating, like feeling aggravation. It's like, man, at least I get to feel this aggravation because the alternative would have been worse. And Joey Gladstone is definitely going to get a win. It's just a matter of time, but you got to do it. And then you get to be on WFO like these two. All right. Moving these up. What else? Keith Coffin, who is a Patreon. Way to go, Keith. Thank you for being a Patreon. Patrons get their questions up. Another great show, Joe. Glad I had an easily delivered mail today. Got home in time to watch live and love the Patreon updates. Worth every penny, says Keith. Way to go, Keith. Thank you for the shout out. And I still want to buy your Miami Hollywood Speedway Christmas tree back there. Everybody wants the tree. And I have a Miami Hollywood Speedway t-shirt in the bag, in the plastic wrapper, purchased from the gift shop of the Speedway. People are just trying to offer me all kinds of money. No way. It would have to be a really big number, folks. And I'll package the tree and the shirt for the right amount of money, right? Yeah, that's hanging out with Bo Butner too long. Everything's for sale. Monica, cool. Facebook, Gladstone, knew it. Joey is an awesome person as well. Yeah, he is. And his whole fam. And when they get a win, it's going to be a big deal. And the bikes. How about the bikes and pro stock? I know. I'm pushing them. But look at the quality of racers and race teams. Vance and Hines, Eddie, Andrew, Angel, goes without saying. Matt Smith Racing, Matt, Angie, Scotty, goes without saying. Right? Corey Reed and Joey are now coming up. Jerry is going to be there. You've got a lot of really strong teams who know how to win. Steve Johnson is going to get a win this year. I have no doubt. And so it's just the bikes are fun. It's all fun. And that's what we love. Let's see. I make a cool tree. Oh, Jeff makes a tree. There you go. You could make the bootleg Miami Hollywood tree replica. Well, I'll share some dimensions and then everybody can get it. It can be approved WFO swag trip. Susan's birthday was Monday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday, Sue. So this week, good job. So regarding the news on Richmond, again, whatever it takes, whatever NHRA decides, whatever they want to do, 10,000 and 30%, you can't make money. Well, maybe that number will go up and it will go up. You know what will make that number go up? Like, what will make the number go up of capacity? I'm not going to tell you because I don't want to push anybody to do anything that they don't want to do. People reject that. If you tell somebody to do that, like, don't put your hand on the oven. Oh, yeah, I'll show you. That's what people are like, myself included sometimes. I think it's just human nature. If someone tells you to do something, you want to do the opposite. A lot of people operate that way. It's just the way it is. So I'm not going to tell you to do anything. I'm just going to say, like, man, what will have to happen for places where we race to raise their capacity from 30 to 50 or 100? Like, what would have to happen? I wonder. You should do some research of it. I think that's probably the best way to handle the situation. Work it out for yourself, folks. Thank you, Suze. Best birthday ever, she says. Jeff wants to sign up as a Patreon. Listen, we got a lot more Patreons now, and we're adding every week. And it's a monthly fee, and you get something unique. You get unique content, and I try to make sure the appropriate swag or drip goes your way. And we're evolving the product all the time. And the people who are on there seem happy. They get to watch the Ignition Show as a live studio audience and, of course, chime in and be a part of the show. Various WFO swag at certain levels, including becoming a certified patron. Get the Monday Motivation Show on this past Monday. I got off the plane. I came into the studio. Boom, immediate. One thing everybody knows about being a patron, and this is the most important thing, no expectations, because you have no idea if you're going to get anything. Probably not. And that's what do I call it? Under promise and over deliver. It's like promise nothing and then deliver a little. And everybody loves it. It's great. All right, everybody. Thank you so much. Remember, Antron Brown, 3 p.m. tomorrow. AB going to talk about flat out running the Capco boys in the final round. Just flat out running them. Like Billy Torrance said, we got flat out run. And that's what great racing is all about. So that'll be happening tomorrow, Thursday, 3 p.m. Eastern time. Remember, you can always email me. WFO Joe. You can get me on email, joe@wforadio.com, or Instagram and Twitter at WFO Joe, and Facebook, and go to the website and subscribe and all of that stuff. Come on now. All right, everybody. Thanks to Scotty and Suze. And of course, thanks to GA, we didn't get to see the dyno pull, but it was still very cool. All right, everyone. See you tomorrow, 3 o'clock Eastern time. We'll be here with Antron. Appreciate all of you. Have a great day.